So it becomes a great way to share raw sound, interviews, specials, and from Pacifica Radio Archives to the stations to the affiliates. It's been a big success. Having said that, though, there are many known, not many, but several known bugs, and it's about time we address them. For us to take the level of service, the quality of service to the next level, we actually need to do a couple of upgrades. And so in FY07, I'd like to do the first round of upgrades, hardening the security and bringing in some basic features that we weren't able to do in 04, and set us up for another upgrade in 2000, in fiscal year 08, where we would then provide another step towards what we're calling like a poor man's PRSS or poor man's PRX. Maybe that's crude language, but we're moving in a direction where the KU is becoming obsolete for many reasons, and our affiliates and institutions are looking for more automation and a greater level of services. So we're looking to take AudioPort to a completely different level in the next 12 to 24 months, hopefully. And the last priority, so that's the AudioPort. I hope that did it some justice, but it's at audioport.org to visit it, and that's it. The last item for FY07 are flash recorders that John has mentioned that would be, John and Nathan both identified as being of use for gathering sound and doing specials. Again, very low cost. Actually, the total for all the items I've mentioned is under, I would say, under $16,000, $17,000. Total cost for all the items I mentioned for FY07. For do you have any questions on these items before I go any further?
I do.
Yeah.
Is it Dave?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In all of it, Pete, I mean, these amounts are pretty small, but I feel like we're talking at the wrong scale altogether for what's needed for the network. And, it's one thing to do, to look forward to getting a little bit better off than you are, but my feeling is we should be telling the PMB that we need a strategy for a substantially larger move into these areas. It's because, in a sense, what you're really talking about is, falling further and further behind other media organizations. While we make progress, yes, we get better with these investments, but it just seems to me there's something wrong with the scale that we're looking at here, and we need a strategy for a much larger scale.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really mean, with all due respect to you and the board, all the work that you guys have been doing, you folks have been doing over the last 5 years that I've been working with the board and the IPMB and the PMB. With all due respect to that, though, I really need more than what I've received from the organization on many levels to do that. When I, 3 years ago, I put together, 4 years ago, I put together a comprehensive plan that was a kind of best-case scenario, an average, and a really modest, so three scenarios of growth, ways we can go. I had there was no tech committee meetings in those days. Up until this board, there hasn't been any tech committee meetings, so I have no board backing. And frankly, the management at the time, I was talking about things like distribution that you guys are talking about now with licensing and distribution. The management looked at me like I was talking to them in Greek. And, now I'm glad that things have changed and that there's a licensing and distribution task force and management is agreeing that this is a good idea. But quite frankly, up until now, I haven't seen a real serious step from the organization, not from the staff, but from the board and the management, the leadership of the organization, to go anything more than modest. When I make requests, I've been asking for a backup server for the AudioPort, $3,000 for 3 years, and it gets stonewalled at the in step one
and,
of the budget.
And what he got was, he was given a FireWire drive and said, that's your backup.
So to say that I'm being you know, I'm keeping it small, or I think I'm being realistic with I've been laughed at by the board, by the managers in small private meetings for making big picture recommendations, best case scenario, because it was perceived as so unrealistic. And if I had some support, I would pursue it further. But at the time, I had no support.
Okay, I want to respond. May I, Michael?
Yes.
Please.
In that thing, you used the term "you" a number of times, and it wasn't a critique of you or anything you've done or not done. It's a statement about what the foundation needs to do as a whole. And one of the things you described has to do with a sort of persistent problem, which is you are overseeing a fairly large sector of potential effort without, I mean, now John's there at the national tech level. Odie was there before. But in terms of an overall set of initiatives about how we're going to approach technology, who else is going to be there, how it's going to get discussed, and how planning is going to get done, we're not out of the gate. As to resources, it's as good a time as any to mention that I believe yesterday I got a donor to offer on the order of $50,000 in matching funds for our distribution effort.
Wow.
I'm hoping to get a letter by the end of the week to the board indicating that willingness to fund it, and the criteria, and his basic criteria when he asked what some of the money would be used for, and I was describing some of the efforts we've got going. He said, well, those are mainly tasks, and I'd like to see a list of, you know, outcomes that at the end of a period of time, I'll know we have them as outcomes. Now, this is targeted to the licensing effort, where he's interested in funding the work we need to do to start providing access to Creative Commons hybrid licensed content and some projects within that. But I guess, you know, I hear what you're saying, and we need to get these basic things done so you're not wasting time with little things that can be solved by small amounts of money. But on the area of goals over the next few months, I think we need to start talking about what a network-wide coherent technology division would be doing.
But Dave, may I respond to that, Michael?
Yes.
Okay. There's a little bit difference of what you're talking about, what we're talking about, because we're talking about kind of the trunk of the tree, and you're talking about the branches and the leaves. And there's a real difference there, because we're really supporting the stations and the affiliates. You know, AudioPort is not for everybody. It's for producers within the network. And we're kind of shoring up that facility. And you have a broader plan, which really does encompass what we're doing. It's not that they're divergent. There's kind of overlap there, but it's kind of two different things.
It'd be a good time to go to the third topic.
Pardon me?
It'd be a good time for this is Michael Woodson. It'd be a good time for us to go to the digital distribution development issue now. It's a good segue anyway, if people feel...
Well, actually, I wanted...
That's why Pete wasn't done.
Yeah, I wanted to
go
into
back,
FY08
okay.
Priorities just to plant a seed.
Good. We're an hour and 15 minutes into this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's four bullets. I'll be very brief. I do want to say, though, I again, with all due respect to the board, I really mean it. No disrespect, but I think that... John's right, it's apples and oranges, but beyond that, the characterization that, for example, that I have this broad overview of Pacifica's technology is false. I'm talking that the managers have this broad overview. I'm looking at the five GMs who have the budget and have the ability to allocate or not allocate resources, who generally, I won't speak to that, and also the finance office at the National. These are the folks. These are the folks that actually allocate the budgets. That as well as the board that has this overview of the land, the way of the land. I don't. I have
problems that I have to find solutions for with practically no budget. And that's been my experience for 5 years. And I don't mean to personalize this, but I'm being practical. I'm being realistic. So in the apples and oranges side is what I'm laying out for you are minimal priorities for us to be effective and get our job done in terms of reliable programming to our clients and our sister stations and our listeners. What you're talking about, David, is a best-case scenario where if we were properly communicating and fully functioning and reaching our fundraising potential. All these things are frankly, it's not the case, though. So I'm being realistic. I don't mean to be negative or cynical, but...
if I could just ask you, if these things are so crucial, why are we waiting till FY08? If the amounts are this small, why don't we do it right now?
I have no budget.
If it makes such an operational difference, it should be something we do right now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to the 2008 priorities.
2008 priorities. Yeah. Well, my number one priority for 2008 would be a consolidated Pacifica shopping cart. The only way that I would say this is my top priority is if all five stations, PRA and National, all seven branches of the network, sort of, are on board for this. It's not a high-cost priority, but it is a safer and more marketable way for us to move in terms of online revenues. It's something that's I've been mentioning with others. I've been hearing others talk about on and off for years. From a marketing perspective, you get more bang for your buck if you are promoting one URL in your mailers, in your pitches, in your MP3s as you're distributing them with your Creative Commons licensing, et cetera. From a technical perspective, it's a lot safer if we have our technical staff consolidated, monitoring one shopping cart rather than having to maintain five or six or seven shopping carts and having security breaches and other kind of issues happening. So that's, it. Again, though, if we don't do it as a consolidated network and only part of the stations are on board, then it's not a priority. It shouldn't happen that way. But that's, I think that's something actually that could be a governance, that should be potentially a governance issue, and I would like this committee's feedback on that. It's a big discussion, but that's my number one priority, consolidated shopping cart. The second priority is an additional round of upgrades to the audio port, taking us really in that PRX, PRSS model where at this point the software will be doing part of the work on the client side at the sister station or affiliate station, capturing sound locally at the stations rather than up on the web server or together with the web server doing some of the functions locally as well as remotely. So that would be a whole new step for audioport.org. The third priority would be if we go the Creative Commons route, one thing that's been talked about recently is a music-based version of the audio port. So this would be a server for this music audio port where we would house Creative Commons licensed music that would be available to our sister and affiliate stations so that they can more easily implement this new model. And the last thing is a development server so that I could work on not the main live server, but I can actually, or myself and others that I'm working with, we can have a server to work on. Rather than the live server. That's, again, a low-cost thing. All these, in fact, again, I'm not asking for many tens of thousands of dollars for both FY07 and FY08. So those are the priorities. I think I covered the six, right, John?
Yeah, Michael?
Thanks. Go ahead, Dave.
Mary hasn't spoken in a while. I'll yield to her. Well, if you could recognize me afterwards.
I have a short, it's a small question. Are you telling me that you still do not have the backup server that...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the National Office... I'm sorry, is that the whole question, Mary?
Do you really
the National Office sent me a surplus USB drive that was somewhere, and I'm doing a crude backup here from my office, but ideally, you know, we want a server that's right in the rack right next to the audio port server and doing more regular, more automated backups. Right now, there are backups happening, but it's a very crude and frankly, manual backup. That's not ideal.
Pete,
could you just tell the committee roughly what that would cost? I think people here are going to be a little bit shocked.
He said it was going to cost $3,000.
It would cost, I mean, it's a range. It could cost, $1,500 for a backup server. But what I'm asking for in the budget is $4,000 to get another server that would replace AudioPort as the main server and use the current server as the backup.
Okay.
The server that we have now that's running AudioPort is not really, wasn't top of the line then. You know, it was kind of a budget server. Not a budget server, but it was an economy-type server then, again, because of budget constraints. So I would like to step up the primary server, use this opportunity to do both, to get a better primary server in place and a backup server for $4,000.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead. Who's this?
This is Rob Robinson. I'd like to get into the techno-parity area, because I really think that what Pete and John are alluding to is that they're trying to do the best job they can not to make requests that are going to make management upset with what they're asking for. What David is saying is that if we're going to move into a digital environment that's already outstripping the old FM radio paradigm, we not only have to have more than that in place, we have to have a plan for where we're going. I would like to remind, everybody that the job of people in governance is one of the key things we're supposed to do is make sure that the resources are available to fund the basic operations of our stations. I'm at a station that has been budgeting and not buying a backup generator for years. We have very, very few editing stations. We recently hired a program director. You know, he's on board now. He doesn't have a computer. If you look at the situation that exists, the internet streaming that's being done by WBAI, and this came up before the board a couple of years ago, the internet streaming at WBAI is being done out of Pete and Ursula's apartment. You know, much of the equipment that Otis put together that's being used for KPFTX is equipment that he owns. And we're not budgeting for these things.
Hello?
Yes?
Rob?
Yes?
Hi, this is Noodle. I got to get ready for my show.
Okay.
I'm at the station.
Who's this?
Noodles is on the air in a few minutes. She has to leave.
Okay.
Right. Hello, Rob?
Yes?
This is Ali Lexa at KPFK Los Angeles.
Right.
You know, I'm just listening to your equipment needs, and you know, we throw out a lot of computers and equipment. Would it be a realistic thing to put together some kind of an equipment pool? Because I'm sure we get a computer to you guys if that's what you need.
Sure. I'm just saying that I think that one of the concerns that we have to deal with as members of governance is that Pete and John have been told that they have to make do with what's not sufficient. But we can't do anything about that unless we have realistic figures about what's needed and what parity is in its staffing as well as equipment.
Okay.
What's needed at the local stations. The one criticism I would make to both John and Pete of the report that you shared with us at the board meeting in January was that you deliberately tried not to make conclusions and recommendations that would make it clear that there are areas where we're falling short. For example, Pete's made a whole bunch of adjustments into the website for Pacifica.org, but there's nobody to update those things from the local stations. We don't have for example, the news aggregating features. Our station does not have somebody that can update our website. So our website is basically the same as it was 5 years ago. So I think at some level, this committee and Pete and John are going to have to find a way to tell us the truth so that we can go forward to the board and make realistic requests of what it's going to take to drag us kicking and screaming out of the 20th century.
Can I
Dave,
say something?
Oh, yeah, you were on the stack.
Yeah. On the point that you made about the music server for PodSafe Music, That's one of the kinds of projects that this donor is interested in funding. And so I think if this works out in the next few weeks, that's something that could start right away. The thing I was concerned with is, you know, how much staff time is available to get all this stuff done. As I hear you enumerating the number of different things we need, it seems like a lot of time demand on you. Who would be doing all this stuff other than you?
Well, specifically with regards to the music AudioPort site, that's Ursula's indicated, for example, that she gets requests as affiliate coordinator or through Pacifica Network from musicians already, you know, maybe one or a couple or three a month even. I think it's the kind of service that once the music world hears about, especially the progressive music world, it's not that big, I don't think, I mean, not to be disparaging, but I think news will travel quickly amongst musicians. We can put out a press release in a couple of choice music sites and spur up some traffic, but I think it's just like AudioPort, it's a self-service type site, so they'll be on their own to sign up and do what they need to do, provided the proper documentation. But it's essentially like it's essentially the same software as AudioPort, so there's no new no new development, no new documentation will have to be developed. It's a different installation of the same software on a different server, just to keep it. And in fact, you know, as has been pointed out before by John and others, we don't even have to have a separate server initially. We can start the service off as a beta to start accumulating content without even a separate server. But so that's the answer. You know, it's a combination of self-service and also really leveraging, frankly, the software. Maybe even in server that we already have, so it's not much additional work, whereas it will have significantly increased services for this not much additional work. The barracks box I mentioned is like a one-time installation setup. It would be a combination of John, myself, and local staff doing implementation. The AudioPort software upgrades would be something that I would want to outsource. The consolidated shopping cart would be something that I would ideally like to work, would have to work with folks like Ali Lexa at KPFK, who's on the call, Michael Monacheri from KPFA, and any other technical staff available at the local stations. So that would be, you know, consolidated effort as well. Also, there is a room in the budget for this year for an assistant for me that's not been that position has not been filled. So I potentially will have help coming as well. So I think that's interesting. A decent answer.
Okay, we're an hour and a half into the meeting. We can move on to point three, to the third item on the agenda, if there are no objections. I guess closure is so 90s, so I don't think we'll just leave
there,
it hanging.
Michael, before we go there?
Yes, go ahead.
Can you send us that list in writing, both both sections, the stuff you did before we talked, and then, the little things you need right away, and then some of these other things that were longer term. Can we get that in writing just so we have it to look at?
Sure, right away.
Thank you.
All right. So let's move on to digital distribution. Dave, I think you should, or Rob, y'all might team up and give us a report. My idea, and anyone in the committee can jump in, and remember that a lot of people are just joining this discussion tonight. But I think that this committee needs an update on what's happening with regards to digital distribution, especially since it's something on the front burner for the PNB.
I can give a little just brief summary, and then Rob maybe can give the rest.
Sure.
The basic idea is to look into using Creative Commons licensing for sectors of our content that are amenable to it. Obviously, some of the stuff that includes copyrighted content can't be used for that. But one of the reasons for that is it allows our audience to be redistributors of it. It also allows
us not necessarily to have to pay every hello? Hello?
Yes?
Sound like somebody in a party line.
Yeah, it's just, there was some static there.
Okay. Well, there's static a little bit in this process, too, so I guess it's not a problem. So the basic idea is to use licensing strategies that put our content on other platforms as well. It's a hybrid license in the sense that for non-commercial purposes, people are free to use it, but if they're using it to generate revenue, then there'd be some contractual obligations to share that revenue. And in any case, as I said, I just went yesterday to the Bay Area to solicit a high donor who has experience in open source design projects and open source media to ask whether they'd be willing to help us fund some of the initial steps. And as I also just said, he told me, you know, it's not so much tasks I care about, I want outcomes. Brian DeShazer has actually indicated a willingness to allow a chunk of archive content from 1968, which they're preparing for next year, which is the 30th anniversary, to be licensed under this regime and therefore see how it performs and how what kind of impact it has. And so that would be one project, getting the music stuff up and running. I talked to Ali, and he pointed out that he knows a number of musicians, like Pete said, who would be eager to use this. And so those are a couple of projects that could get off the ground fairly quickly. The other issue, of course, would be some online, you know, born online content. And all of that stuff would require, well, it's a little unclear, actually. That's the question, one of the questions that this group should consider, and Pete and John may want to talk about their thoughts on, you know, is this hosted in a separate area altogether? Is it all mixed together and there's simply tagging that indicates what the licensing on things is? But the hope is really that in a very short period of time, if we get the funding and we get the will, that we can be putting up offerings like this right away. And one of the big questions is if traffic builds quickly, do we have the capacity to scale up with it? Because as Ken Friedman told us from FMU, his goal is never have somebody who can't get in or gets a slow download. So his goal is always stay ahead of the curve. So that's about it from my side as regards technology and this project. Maybe Rob wants to add some things. As you all know, Rob is going to be, we're proposing a project for Rob to tie up a lot of hanging loose ends and bring together a lot of the people and resources around the network to get the kind of concrete planning finished up that allows this to be fundable at a much bigger scale than just the pilot project level.
Sure. We've actually made an unsolicited proposal to the network about this, but the two basic goals are to get to the point where Pacifica can begin doing online distribution of programming content from all of the stations, and then hopefully that we can also begin taking content and putting it up in a form which is comparable to AudioPort so that it can be redistributed throughout the Internet in conjunction with the Creative Commons licenses, which solve many of the copyright and intellectual property issues, which are very pervasive on the Internet now, as you know. So this proposal deals not simply with some of the immediate problem that we have in Pacifica is there is no agreement between the local station producers and Pacifica to redistribute content. So we have to find a way to make allowances for that, and then we have to agree on developing Creative Commons licenses that are either hybrid forms of those that already exist or use the canned forms that exist on Creative Commons, so that particularly non-commercials that are using programming not for revenue-generating purposes can distribute the content from Pacifica and from others, from affiliates as well. But there are a number of issues that we have to address with that, which don't simply deal with copyright. It also has to do with whether or not we have infrastructure plans at the network. So obviously we are going to be dependent upon Pete and John to explain to us what needs there are going to be so that we've got adequate bandwidth, and we have as well staffing that can make sure that this is being managed. The local stations are primarily concerned about understanding what kind of an impact it will have on local station operations if, for example, we're putting together 24-hour internet streams of programming that include local station programs. How are they prepared for national distribution, and what does that mean that a local producer has to do to put a local program up on AudioPort, whether it involves entering metadata or actually making edits into the sound document itself. So raising funding for the infrastructure is another point of that, as well as raising awareness throughout the non-commercial community for the concept of civic media, which is what we see Pacifica doing. So that is a proposal that's been out there. We've made disclosure about what this involves. The proposal is that I would put together a plan to do some of these things within 3 months. So we've disclosed that. We've also discussed the need to raise money and to develop budgets for this, and that's there. We've discussed this with our legal counsel. And again, David and I have been talking to people such as Professor Lawrence Lessig from Stanford University, who is the founder of Creative Commons, and there is a great interest in people throughout the internet community to see a non-commercial organization with Pacifica's reputation and traditions to get involved. But again, the concern is that they want to see, you know, they're willing to invest in something like this, but they're concerned that Pacifica has made a decision, and they're going to want to see, obviously, outcomes, as David has mentioned. So those are some of the things that I can touch on. If there are further questions, we can fill in the blanks for you.
I thought you would have lit something up there. I thought there was going to be a brawl or some brouhaha of some sort.
Well, of course, I mean,
You're here now?
That's right. Like, right now. This is what I joined Pacifica for. Come on. Some of your words are very dense, and I would guess that people on the committee
have everything.
Might be trying to maybe find some context. I'm, as a chair, you know, I should announce that I am thinking that it is our responsibility to get into the digital distribution. So that's what I'm saying, and I would like to send out to you a motion which supports not so much what Rob was saying, because I don't think that we can really approach or that we should approach Rob's employment, but that we should, as a technology committee, totally push forward something that is inevitable, we should have been doing years ago, and that is perfectly appropriate, if not necessary, for the mission. So. And that is to push forward Creative Commons licensing as a key component to Pacifica's digital distribution effort, and to emphasize to the PNB the importance of this.
There's something.
Did David say something?
My face hit the unmute button by accident. Sorry.
Okay. Oh. So I guess I'll read my motion. I'm going to send it out to the tech to everyone now, and I'll just read it, and you know, we can discuss it. And that basically, this is just some advice or a motion that advises the PNB on this issue, which is I feel the technology committee should advise the PNB that the development of the software and hardware interfaces needed to support the growth of digital distribution of Pacifica programming is critically dependent on the licensing approaches it chooses to adopt. Any new approaches to digital distribution will require pilot efforts designed to provide proof of concept, which is what Dave was talking about there. Outcomes, you know, is how we're going to kind of determine in small steps how we're doing with this. The Technology Committee supports the goal of adopting Creative Commons hybrid licensing as a key component of Pacifica's future digital distribution efforts. And therefore, the Technology Committee recommends that the Foundation take immediate steps to allow it to begin using Creative Commons hybrid licensing to initiate pilot projects to develop infrastructure for the distribution of programming licensed in this way, and to identify potential funders and strategic partners to support the growth of these efforts. So that's sort of what's going on with the 3D program, digital distribution development, and basically this would just, well, first of all, the motion is meant to open up a discussion if there are discussions to be had about it, and then go forward.
I
go
want
ahead,
to
Dave.
Think about it, Michael, and that is, I think there's a pool of donors out there from the open source software, or familiar with open source software, from the software community, who understand how the GNU public license and the open source software approach made for a fundamentally different structure of distribution and production, who would be willing to fund this. And I was challenged by another board member over email recently, who said, you know, well, you've claimed this, but, you know, do we have evidence? And I was very happy that I had this meeting set up. So I think the question I asked this donor was, first of all, not just would they be willing to provide us with the money to get started on this project, and I asked for $50K, but also whether he felt that there was significantly greater amounts of money if we can, you know, make the project go. And he said absolutely, gave me some potential other funders and partners who would be interested in it. But, you know, it leads ultimately to, and maybe Pete can talk about this a little bit, a different sort of model, one in which it's more about the services you provide that is what people are coming to you for, because you're licensing the content so that they can get it in diverse ways. The hybrid license means that if they're going to use it to generate revenue, they have to come to you no matter what. But if they're using it for civic purposes, the key thing is that they attribute you, and they also, there's another key point, which is when we make fundraising appeals, those fundraising appeals have to stick to the programming. But other than that, there are very different relationships you get into with other redistributors and the community at large. And anyhow, so that's all I have to say about it for now.
Michael, may I ask a question?
Is this Andrea?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Dave, what did you mean by fundraising appeals have to stick to the programming?
If you allow people to make derivatives of the program as part of the license, i.e. they can sample it, cut it up, use it for other things, one of the keys is the advantage is that it can travel out over many platforms, not just your own, and other people can build distribution for you. But that really doesn't help you if, when you make a fundraising appeal, nobody hears it. Let me give a concrete example. Democracy Now! Posts their programming on archive.org, and you can download it. But when it's fund drive time, I download that program and listen to it, and there's no fund drive pitch for Pacifica on it. Similarly, if somebody could cut off a fund drive pitch, if they were allowed to make derivatives and they decided the derivative they wanted was to excise the fund drive pitch, then you might be losing a lot of the advantage of letting it flow out everywhere, which is, you know, our model now is give it out as broadly as possible and make sure that, you know, people hear you ask for support and 10% of them will support you. So that would be one of the terms of licensing that we'd need to work in there, that fundraising appeals couldn't be deleted.
I see. Thank you.
Excuse me, that might be. That's my own opinion. That hasn't gone through any of our many Baroque processes yet.
Right. Thank you.
Are there any other comments about the motion?
I want to say something, but I mean, if anyone else wants to say something, I don't want to, let the board go first, basically.
Yeah, this is Henry. Is the proposal that we vote that today?
Yeah, that's the question I would have. I think that...
I'll go on and say I'm basically in sympathy with it, but I feel like I need to read it through, and it's a bit much to just vote it right now.
Mary Berg, I feel like I don't want to try to vote on that today, especially as this meeting has gone on, I think, longer than we thought it would, and we're not. But I would want time to. Yeah, I agree with Henry.
That's a motion to postpone?
Well, I mean, was the motion brought? I mean, I don't know. I'm a little bit...
I move.
Oh. Oh, you're moving that.
No, no. Michael moved it.
Yeah, I moved it.
Michael moved it. Okay. Yeah, I guess so. Actually, I don't even have it yet, so it'll come, but I don't have it yet. So, yeah, I guess I would move to postpone till... Oh, here it comes. I've got it, at least. Till the next meeting, I would think. What do you think?
Well, I'm inclined to agree with you as for the reasons that I just said, but let me ask Michael or other proponents, is there something happening between now and our next meeting that makes this this resolution particularly... I mean, I realize the overall urgency of the situation, but... In terms of specific procedures, is something going to happen in the next month that this resolution could influence if we pass, and we pass it and not influence if we postpone it?
I can speak to that.
Go ahead.
Well, the board's going to be looking at the specific proposal and considering the conflict of interest issues on Friday, but the motion that Michael read doesn't sort of... I mean, it doesn't say anything specifically about that proposal. It's a statement of orientation. So, you know, I mean, I think in real terms, will it sway anybody one way or another when that vote comes up? Probably not. It's probably doubtful. I think it would be useful if the committee did agree with it to act on it now, but it's not strictly necessary, and there's no administrative... it doesn't delay anything, and it doesn't accelerate anything. But I would like us to at least discuss it rather than truncate the discussion without having talked about it. If at the end of that discussion people still feel that way, fine. But I wouldn't want it put off the table until we had that chance.
I'd just like
Michael?
To ask...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I think Andre was first.
Oh,
and
I
then Mary.
Go ahead.
Oh, I thank you. Either way, I don't. I would like to think about it also and discuss it now. I mean, I'm thinking about now the question about identifying potential funders and strategic partners. I don't know exactly what that means and where that would lead us. So I would like to. Maybe talk about it now and think about it for a while if the talking doesn't resolve all of our questions. And vote on it next time.
Much of the discussion on this has to do with whether or not Pacifica is going to make a foray into the Internet, into digital distribution, and whether or not it's going to focus on making its programming content freely available, or whether the existing FM stations are going to continue to kind of operate in the FM paradigm. Much of this has been influenced, as David indicated, by the open source movement and the free software movements. And basically the idea there is that things are freely available to people, that they have the ability to use them and pass them on, and that there is no, that although there are different ways in which commercial and non-commercial uses are negotiated with the owners of the property, there is not restrictions to that. And the advantage of that is to Pacifica is that that basically we are in a radio environment in which we are in competition with providers of content globally. So we are no longer within our signal areas in New York or Houston or D.C. or L.A. or Berkeley. We are no longer the only provider of progressive content within our signal area. We're now in competition with people all over the world. And we don't currently have, as we've discussed on this committee, not only technologically are our stations and the network not advanced, but we haven't put in place a structure and a philosophy for us as a provider of programming content that basically says that we are going to do this. So one of the things that we're basically trying to get the network to focus on is the fact that the business models that we have as individual FM radio stations with a loosely configured network is not necessarily the best way for us to go forward as the Pacifica Foundation into the world of global competition. We want to make our competition freely available. We want to stick to our progressive traditions. We want to honor the Pacifica mission. But there are a number of questions that we haven't answered in terms of how do we create the infrastructure, how are we going to make the programming available, and will we, as a network, really act like a network in competition with networks which are, in effect, that have a global presence. So in making this proposal, we're taking a bold step, but I think the reason that we feel this is so important is because in the past, the network has not been able to make decisions to develop and to jump into other areas like this. And we feel that time is passing us by. A number of you may have seen the fact that Free Press and other people, in the progressive radio movement are considering developing their own platform for distribution. So the reality is that Pacifica is in competition with other people, even within the progressive radio movement, and we think that time is of the essence, because if we continue to be preoccupied with parochial concerns, and if we get distracted by the fact that the FM paradigm has changed, it's not that our local stations don't and will not continue to play an important role, but what radio is doing in competition with global competitors and on the internet and with podcasting is of critical importance. You know, almost 50 million MP3 players were shipped last year, and they expect the same amount to be shipped this year. And these instruments change the way people listen to radio. They can listen to programs when they want, the way they want to. The same thing is happening with satellite radio. So there are a number of things that are changing. Excuse me, I'm taking too long.
So can I want to, I'd like to follow on that. We just,
I'd like to go on the stack,
Michael?
Too, please, Henry.
Henry, good. Hmm? Mary was on the stack, Dave, but Mary.
Yeah,
go.
I had a question wondering how long were, I didn't really think the meeting was going to be lasting quite this long and even longer. I just wonder how long we are thinking to meet, because I'm going to maybe run into conflict with maybe other people. What are people's idea of that?
I'm afraid to speak.
I'd like to go at least 15 to 20 minutes on this issue, since it's causing such hubbub. And so my preference would be to spend about another between 15 and 30 minutes total.
Is Bill still here?
Yes.
Who?
Bill Crozier. And maybe we can give Bill Crozier 5 minutes to bring up the audio log issue.
Yeah, is there a way that he could...
I can give a summary and then send some more information by email later.
Because I think Pete would be the one to air out that discussion with you.
Okay.
So anyway, let's go 20 minutes on this and then close with
I'd really
Bill's
like
concern.
To hear that personally, because I have not heard that.
Michael, I'd like to speak to the licensing and distribution at some point, too. Again, this is Pete.
Okay, let's do that. So, Dave, you're next.
Yeah, a couple things. One, I actually am eager to hear Pete's opinion. I think one of the biggest differences for the way you design infrastructure for piece of this is, for the Creative Commons license stuff, mm-hmm. is some of that you can get partners to host for you and to bear your bandwidth costs, whereas if you're using proprietary-only stuff, you probably have to pay all your own bandwidth costs, and that means the extra listeners. The more listeners you get, the more expenses you have at each step. I want to make two quick points. One is, we just heard that some stations are looking into having to make commitments of hundreds of thousands of dollars to stream content to an audience that doesn't exist yet. And okay. Rob just, and we're talking here about a matter of possibly thousands of dollars, which can attract possibly tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in funding from people who are already excited about it and an installed base of maybe 50 million. And this is something that ruffles everybody's feathers. But not a comment about, well, it's going to cost $200,000 maybe to get this iBox thing going, and HD radios cost several hundred dollars, and new cars are coming out with jacks that you can plug your Apple iPod into. So something's weird, you know, in the soup right now from my perspective. We're talking about a vast audience, a way to reach it. How are we going to do it, and how are we going to fund it? Now, I have no problem if people don't agree with the approach of using a Creative Commons license. I think it does provide a certain cachet, and there are other reasons, deeper reasons, in terms of how you build a civic media system and how you serve it, that I think are really, really important. But I don't understand why there's not even the least blink when we talk about that amount of money for iBox, and yet this is so disturbing to people.
I believe.
And the other thing I want to say is Michael's motion doesn't say anything about Rob's project. I know that let's be clear, the KPFA LSB 23 of the 24 said we don't like it because of the conflict of interest and the appearance of impropriety. And if that's people's problem, fine, but this motion is not about, hey, you ought to fund that, or we think that the issue of Rob is so compelling that we think you should go ahead with it. Michael's motion is about, hey, you guys should move in this front, and not you know, not in a year, right? We've already gone all these steps down the line to deal with iBox and to get iBox going. I want to make one last point, which is we already are doing digital distribution. Pete, John, Odie, a lot of people at the stations, we're doing it already. It's up and running. The question is, how are we going to expand that, and what's the role of licensing in it? And I'm very curious in hearing Pete's thoughts about what he would do differently depending on, and in terms of next steps, depending on what we end up deciding on the licensing tip. Thanks.
Henry.
I mean, I'm completely supportive of the push and the urgency to focus the network on new modes of distribution, digital distribution. It's been one of my frustrations with Pacifica for years, is that I feel like, you know, we really haven't done nearly enough to take advantage of the changes the technology is producing, and we are getting further and further behind, and that's a tragedy. The problem that I have with to some extent with this discussion and with Michael's resolution now that I'm reading it is that, and with the sort of the whole process, is that the fact that we seem to be approaching it around the license issue, which seems to me, relatively speaking, a detail, what we need is a cultural revolution. We need a change in outlook on the part of the governing bodies and the management. And then from that, you know, from that, if people really buy into this vision of how people are going to be listening to audio in today already, but increasingly in 5, 10, 20 years, then we go from there to thinking about, all right, well, what does that mean in terms of how we organize ourselves? What hardware do we need? What technologies and so on? And part of that is the license, but as you say, we're already doing it without this license. That's one thing that's hard for a lot of people to understand. KPFA now claims 19,000 programs archived online. And nobody at KPFA ever heard of Creative Commons licensing. So I don't think it's our function. I mean, I know there's this working group, and you know, presumably they've looked at the license alternatives and worked out the details on the hybrid thing and so on and so on, and that's their job. But I as someone who hasn't participated in those discussions, I don't feel like I'm in a position to endorse you know, a particular licensing approach. I think the resolution that we passed should be more you know, equally urgent, but more general in the kind of kick in the rear that we try to give to the board.
You can make a substitute motion, I guess.
I can, but I'm not at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, I need to.
Pete, you're up next.
Hi, thanks. I want to say that first off that I really appreciate the efforts of the whole committee, the licensing task force, the board, but also Rob and Dave specifically, because they've really put a lot of time into this. I think this shows the right vision personally that as a staff in this area for Pacifica. I've been looking to go this area for some time, and I appreciate this effort fully. I support it. In terms of what I would do different, or really what I've the upgrade at Pacifica.org, the new Pacifica that you see today, or it's been around for the last month and month and a half or so, is really a step in this direction already. Kind of acting as if we will, or we have done this in a sense, because part of at least Pacifica National programming, like Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, is already offered in this way. So what you see at Pacifica.org now is me leveraging those two programs, because they are distributing their programs in this fashion. I'm tying that into a lot of Web 2.0 features, like letting the end user comment on these segments, or implementing a tagging system, and recently added what's called social bookmarking ability, so that you can basically share links to specific shows or segments that you find at Pacifica.org through these enormously popular sites like Delicious or Technorati or Dig. I've set up the software, and not just for Pacifica.org, but we'll be implementing this at WBI.org in the next few weeks, and hopefully at other stations as well. For example, KPFK using Mambo or Joomla could implement this as well. I think if we just embrace the latest technologies and offer the maximum level of interaction around our content, our content speaks for itself. You know, that's why I work for Pacifica. That's why you folks are here. I really believe that our content is above and beyond what's out there. So to the extent that we, A, make it available, and then, B, allow visitors to share it, to communicate, provide feedback around it with us, I think that's all we can do. In fact, the software, as is developed now, has more interaction, more functionality than you see at Democracy Now! And certainly at Free Speech Radio News website. So this is, you know, that's really the step that the software is, that I'm going with the software, but it's critical that we go with this licensing and distribution route, because Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now! Are great. I would love to have 250, 300 Pacifica programmers entering their content here. And really, there are barriers. We do it, but we're not doing it correctly. We've been doing archiving and our digital distribution of some sort, but in not doing it properly, we potentially put ourselves at risk.